Welcome to the Daphne Child Grantee Spotlight Series, where we showcase the innovative work of our grantees in combating violence against children. The Daphne Child Programme is a collaborative initiative funded by the European Union, led by Eurochild and Terre des Hommes, empowering grassroots civil society organisations across 9 European countries through a comprehensive 3-year subgranting and capacity building programme. You can learn more at daphne.childhub.org. That's daphne.childhub.org.
I'm Zofia Koretko, and today I'm speaking with Charlotte Donnellan from the Irish Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Children, ISPCC in short, in Galway, about their project Little Voices, Big Ideas. Welcome to the podcast, Charlotte.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Shall we start by you telling us about ISPCC in Galway and what drew you to focus on peer-to-peer violence?
Yeah, the ISPCC is a children's charity which is based here in Ireland. We are here for all children, and we are predominantly known for our Childline Listening Service, which is a 24/7 listening service that is available for children who are 18 and under. We also have lots of other different services, for example, our digital mental health program, which is an anxiety program for parents and children between ages of 15 to 18. So it's a program that helps parents to support their child who may be experiencing anxiety. And also then for the teenagers who are between the ages of 15 to 18, that they can learn ways to manage anxiety. And this program is online, so they can do it in their own time and at their own pace. Then we have our Childline Therapeutic Support Service, which I actually used to work in this role previous to moving into participation. And it's one-to-one work with children who may be having emotional or behavioural difficulties. So we would work with them very closely to build on their resilience. So looking at their coping ability, their self-regulation and their social supports. We also have our Smart Moves program, which is a program for children in primary school moving into secondary school. So it's to help that difficult transition from smaller school to maybe a bigger school, and it's building on their emotional resilience. And then we have the participation activities in which I'm involved in. So when people ask me, Charlotte, what is participation? I like to use the analogy of a tunnel. And if you can just visualize looking through a tunnel and viewing the world through the eyes of a child. And if we step inside that tunnel with a child, really truly listen to what they're saying, it is only then that you can really view and see the experiences they have and how they really feel about things. And then the outside of the tunnel is like the adult noise. Because sometimes as adults, we make assumptions about what children need and want. So it's really important we come back inside that tunnel, listen and see the world through the eyes of the child. And then all of our work in participation is underpinned by Article 12, the UNCRC. So the participation work is really focusing at the moment in the ISPCC with the children between the ages of 8 to 12. So we reimagined what participation should look like, and we thought that there was a bit of a gap. There's a lot of participation done with teenagers, but there was a bit of a gap with children under the age of 12. So we decided that we would focus on this age cohort because a lot of the work that we do in the ISPCC is preventative and early intervention. So why not focus on the younger children and support them with that prevention piece before issues become more, I suppose, complex when they get to the teenage age? So that's really the participation piece. And then we were funded for the Little Voices, Big Ideas, a conversation with children about peer-to-peer violence. And we focused on bullying and cyberbullying because peer-to-peer violence can look like many different things for different children. So we decided to focus on the bullying and the cyberbullying. There has been research done by Planet Youth in County Galway that looks at children's experiences online where they have been bullied between the ages of 14 to 16. So we know from research that it is a problem for that age group. But if we look at this from a preventative piece and co-create with children an educational module to raise awareness of bullying and cyberbullying between children between the ages of 8 to 12 were coming from this preventative piece and early intervention. So that's really why we chose to focus on this area. But it's so significant, our project, because we're not just designing this and running with it. We're actually co-designing and creating it with children. So they're really at the heart of this project. So they're directing it, they're guiding it, and they're telling me this should be in it, this should not be in it, and it should look like this. So I've been surprised by lots of things that children have said, and what they tell you, it's like gold, you know, it's so valuable. And then we know that this module is going to be really relevant and relatable because it's what the children are looking for and it's what they want. So it's really significant.
I love your tunnel analogy for child participation, and I never thought of it that way. So thank you for that. So you mentioned some concerning statistics about bullying rates. I wonder how you went on about consulting with children on this issue, and who else did you include in those conversations?
I think children now have access to online, you know, activities from a very younger age than maybe there was 10 years ago. And children have the right to access, you know, the digital services. But it's really important that we have that preventative piece of that education. And through our consultations with the children and young people, they're telling us they want an education. And one child said, knowledge is power, you know, and they're right. The more knowledge you have, the more confident you feel about using and navigating the digital world. So then they can protect themselves. They can notice red flags, have boundaries, and know what's appropriate and not in what is inappropriate conversations that you're having. So children and young people, they may not have the language that we're using around, for example, grooming online, but they know that it is happening and they describe it differently because they don't have the words that maybe adults would use. So it is a problem. And I think for our project, we've consulted with 32 children across County Galway. So we've not just focused in one area in Galway, we've looked at children from Galway City schools, Galway rural community, and that looks at children from the Gaeltacht area, which means children who may be speaking Irish every day, more so than English, and then children living on an island, children in international protection accommodation services, and also children from an economically disadvantaged area. So that would look like children from an ethnic minority. And in Ireland, we call some of these children from an ethnic minority children from the Irish traveller community. So children, you know, they don't always have opportunities to have their voices heard. They just don't get asked to do these kinds of things. So we've been really inclusive in asking lots of different children. And what's so significant about that is children will want this module. They all bring the same themes to the table. So the empathy, self-esteem, confidence, boundaries. What they're saying it is very differently because where they live, they experience bullying and cyberbullying differently. For example, the children who live on an island, they don't have access to services quite readily like children who do on the inland because they have a big barrier by just because of where they live. So it's really important that not just excluding children based on where they live, that we include all children and listen to all of their voices, because then we're getting a true representation of what this issue is really like for children rather than just focusing on one area. So the children who live on the island really need supports and services. And if we put this kind of preventative piece in before it becomes an issue, they're less likely to need support for these things going forward. So we've been very inclusive and we've used different methodologies in our consultations to ensure that we're being child-centered and developmentally appropriate. And how we've done that is, you know, when children are with us, especially children under the age of 12, they may feel a little bit uncomfortable or they may not have the words to articulate their thoughts and their insights. Play is the child's natural form of communication. Words isn't. And if you think of it like this, birds fly, fish swim, children play. It's what they naturally do. So why don't we use these methodologies to ensure that children feel safe and comfortable when they're with us, that they can share their insights? And then we're more than likely going to get a really true reflection of what this problem and issue is like for children, rather than them telling us what they think adults want to hear. So it's about being adaptable, having play and creative mediums, and not making assumptions that, for example, a 12-year-old won't want to play, because actually, in our consultations, they're the ones that were drawn to that part of our consultation, more so than the 8-year-old. So it's about not making those assumptions and providing lots of different mediums, so the children will be drawn to what they feel most comfortable with, and then you get that really true, powerful insight.
Yeah, thank you. And I love the fact that you're really taking a lot of care for making them child friendly in the language and realizing that play is indeed the language of children and not words. But just go back to the, let's say, to the practicalities of the project. So you're reaching a lot of very different communities. Do you do this with the help of schools? So I assume you go to schools and you deliver these workshops together with the children in a school setting.
We recruited the children from schools, but that was the biggest, maybe the challenge for us in the project, in how we can get into schools. But because of the therapeutic support service that we provide in County Galway, we had a lot of relationships with different teachers and schools, which helped us to get in. But then once we had the children, the parents were very, I suppose, aware of what the project involved, and they were very comfortable with that idea. The children came to our space here in the Galway office for the children that we recruited from the Galway city. And we've kept the same environment each week that they've come, and we've had the same staff. So the children felt really comfortable and confident that they knew exactly what was going to happen. But then the children from the rural and Gaeltacht area, we rented a room, we called it our hub, where the children were very familiar with already. And we used to meet there at the weekends. Then for children, for example, who were living in the Inishmore, which is an island off the coast of West Galway, we went out to the island to see them and met them within their school. So we were doing it in a way where children felt comfortable with their environment. They knew exactly what was going to be happening. And we really needed to win over the parents initially, because they are a younger cohort of children. And when you're talking about such a sensitive topic, bullying and cyberbullying, parents have their reservations about these different things. So we did an introductory session with the parents to make sure that they felt comfortable. And when they did, then it was very straightforward after that. And the impact of the project already has been really significant. Some parents have said to me, their child is presenting as more confident now because they're being part of this project. You know, their children are learning words about their rights. They're able to use and project their voice and understand the power of it. And that's phenomenal, really. And last week we were featured in TG Cathair, which is an Irish kind of platform for Irish speaking, and it was their news, and they came out to us on the island and recorded some of the work we were doing. And from that being featured on the news, we've had schools already from nationally linking in with us to say, can we avail of this educational module? So it just shows you that it's really needed. And people find it quite significant because children have been part of that co-creation piece with it. So it really stands out.
So these methodologies that will have been co-created by the children, are they going to be available for parents as well? Or is it more aimed for educators?
So it's aimed for educators. So from January, we have to deliver the module to 250 children across County Galway. So myself, Minnie Del Cotter, who's our Childline Therapeutic Support Worker in Galway, we'll be delivering it together. And then we have to further disseminate it to reach 1,000 children across County Galway again. So that will be through, you know, other charities, youth groups, organisations and schools. And we would love, like, the biggest aim of this project would be that it will be part of the school's curriculum from September 2026.
So you are very intentional about including children from diverse communities, from islands to direct provision centers to traveler communities. And I wonder what common patterns emerged across all these different groups and where did their experiences differ based on where they live or their background?
So the work mostly has been done with schools at the moment, so the education piece, but we have been linking in with IPAS, which is the International Protection Accommodation Services, so children who are living in emergency accommodation within Galway. And they've been part of the consultations with us and in designing the module. And their insights have been very significant because they have experienced, you know, lots of different issues and problems along the way. But bullying has been quite significant for them in terms of moving to Ireland and being placed in an education system where there's been no integration. They've just been plopped down into the school. And then you've got all these different children coming from all different walks of life. And unfortunately, it has resulted in lots of children experiencing bullying and peer-to-peer violence. And the biggest theme from these children has been racism. And one child said to me, I would love for other children to understand what it's like to walk a day in the life of me. And that to me is just, wow, it's powerful that. And so really like one of our themes for the module is empathy, because children actually want their peers to understand what it's like to be them and maybe walk a day in their shoes. And another young girl said to me, she said, we're all the same. Every single one of us on this planet are the same. We have blood that pumps around our body. We have just the same organs, but our skin color might be different. But that doesn't mean you should pick on me or view me differently. And I was like taken aback by that, because she was right. We are all the same. And one of the titles for our empathy module is Different But the Same. We all belong. So it doesn't matter if you've got a disability or you're from a different background or you live somewhere else. We are all the same and we all belong in the same place. But unfortunately, in Ireland, there's no integration when these children move to Ireland and they're living in these accommodation services where they're sharing communal areas. And then they're going to school and there's been no kind of, you know, the children aren't aware and it causes friction. So they feel like their play spaces are getting smaller, but the population of the school is increasing. So the children are picking up a lot on adults' conversations, and then we're seeing the bullying and the cyberbullying. So it's really significant. Children, where they live, they experience things differently. But yet it all comes down to the same common themes of empathy, for example. And that's why that's really, really important that we include that piece. So the four themes that have emerged for the module are self-esteem, empathy, confidence, and knowledge with confidence, both online and offline. So that last one means children feel the more knowledge they have about bullying and the online world, the more confident that they feel that they can manage it. So we really want children to be able to recognize, respond, and report violence. That's one of our big goals. So the children have decided that these modules need to be done over 2 days. So the first two modules would be done, for example, on a Monday. But the children don't want you coming to their school first thing in the morning because they're a bit tired and it takes them a bit of time in the morning to warm up. Coming in a little bit or later on in the morning, just before their break, and then they want you to come back after their break to deliver module two. And that's how they want it to be done. So our modules are no longer than 50 minutes because children don't want you coming in telling them about these things because they just explain that it goes over their head. They're not able to concentrate. So they want things to be short and quick, experiential and practical, and they don't want any PowerPoint presentations. They want it to be more hands-on. And when children experience these kind of things hands-on, they're more than likely going to remember the information and it will sit with them for a longer time.
I mean, the very same thing is true for adults as well.
Absolutely. So we've really listened to the children. So they've really been at the heart of this module. So what the children have said, we really implemented that into it. So our activities are looking at regulating them at the beginning of the session. So we'll have fidget baskets and sensory baskets for all the children within the group. So we know that when children are fidgeting, they're regulating. And when children feel regulated, they're more able then to cognitively engage with you and remember the information, especially because it's such a, I suppose, a topic that's quite difficult to talk about. And we'll be delivering it to children in groups of 8 to 10. So the children have told us they don't want us coming in and talking to the full class, because a child could be in that room with somebody who has bullied them. And that would be very triggering for them and make them feel really uncomfortable. So they want it to be in smaller groups of children between the ages of 8 to 10. And that's to give children the opportunity to have their voices heard and not feel intimidated by other peers and to have that chance. So we've really listened to what they've said and we've took on board everything that they have said. So they feel really empowered when they've reviewed the draft of the module. They're like, wow, you actually listened to us. You really took on board what we said. And then we know it's going to be relatable and relevant for these children. So it's quite amazing, really.
Yeah, I love that, that the children are essentially teaching us what the science confirms, that you need emotional safety before you can engage cognitively, because no one can learn in fight or flight mode. And it's really remarkable how consistent that finding is across all the projects I've been talking to. Anyway, let me shift to something else that you mentioned, and that's working with parents. So when you're discussing sensitive topics like bullying with young children, parents understandably will have reservations. So what's the key, according to you, to building trust with families?
I think being honest, being very upfront, there's no kind of hidden agenda, that you tell them exactly, you know, as much information as possible, and that they give them time to ask the questions, give them that space. But being honest is really important, and ensuring the parents that it's going to be the same staff that the children are going to be meeting when they have their consultations, that there's nobody else going to be stepping in without the parents being aware of. And then the consent is really important as well, that they understand the process of that and what kind of safeguarding things that we have to put in place to ensure that children are safe when they're with us. So, for example, we have a child safeguarding statement in the ISPCC, and it's quite comprehensive. But we had to make sure the children and the parents could understand that, so that they felt safe and comfortable having their children with us, and the children also felt safe and comfortable with us too. So we used a game of Jenga, you know, Jenga, yeah. So we were trying to help them to understand that when we have, there's risks in life, there's risks with everything that we do. But when you take measured risks, for example, if you're crossing the road, you turn on the pedestrian light, you're ensuring the risk is a bit smaller. So when we're pulling a block out of the Jenga game nice and slowly, we're putting lots of thought into it. We're showing the family and the children we're taking a measured risk here. But if we pulled a block and didn't think about it, the whole game would collapse. And then children are more likely to get harmed. So we're trying to show the parents that we have taken lots of different measures to ensure the children are safe with us. And then they have questions that they may not wanted to ask us within the group, but they had opportunities to ring me after or to meet me in person. There was some children who didn't want to come to the introductory session because they were quite nervous and shy. So what we did was we met some children on their own. So they got to come to our office on their own with their parent, see the environment, get to know me, spend some time with me talking, and then they were integrated back into the bigger group. So it's about being flexible and adaptable, but being really honest with parents and carers from the get-go and giving them as much information. And a lot of the time, parents, when you answer their questions and you give them that reassurance, you know, the process is much smoother then.
Yes, indeed. And I wonder, so you and your team, are you So you are based in Galway. The office is based in Galway. Are you from
Yes.
there originally? And does it have a significance in, you know, building trust and earning trust from the community?
Yeah, I'm from Tuam, which is a town just outside of Galway City, and we actually got featured in a local newspaper from my town called the Tuam Herald. So it's really significant, this project, and it just shows that it's really needed. And we're also being featured this week in another paper within the Galway City called the Connacht Tribune. So people are they're hearing about this project. They know it's quite significant because it's the co-creation piece with children. And people are really looking for this kind of module because it's very relatable and relevant for children when they've been part of the creation piece. So for me, I feel very proud that I live in this area. I'm working in the area. And I'm listening to children within this area. I went to school in Galway, that sounds like a long time ago to me, but it's so nice to be part of this now, coming from the place where I grew up as well. And bullying and cyberbullying doesn't matter, you know, what age you are, where you come from, or where you live. It's happening all over the world. But for these children living in Galway, if we can be this preventative piece and early intervention from a young age, we're doing something really good.
So let's talk about the modules. You mentioned four key themes earlier, but I'm also curious about the co-creation aspect. So what did the children say was most important to include?
So we have, after we've consulted with 32 children across County Galway, and we've analysed all the data from the children that they have given us. And we've broken it down into four themes. So as I said earlier, we have self-esteem, confidence, empathy, and knowledge with confidence, both online and offline. But the children are in a bit of a dilemma about what name they're going to give each of these modules. So I'm not deciding on the name, the children are. So for self-esteem, they came up with the title, Discovering Me. Who am I? What are my qualities? What are my strengths? Why is my voice important? So that's the self-esteem piece. Then we have confidence, stand tall. So this module is going to be looking at how can we, you know, our nonverbal cues, standing tall, our body posture, our eye contact, our facial expressions, boundaries, and being confident to say no. Because saying no is okay. It's okay to say no. And then we have empathy, which I'd mentioned earlier, different but the same, we all belong. And that came from a young person who was part of our panel, and she has a physical disability. So she experiences every day feeling different. But she's saying we're different, but we are all the same. And it doesn't matter your circumstances, we all belong. So that's really significant, and that's become that's a quote from a child, yes. And then knowledge with confidence, both online and offline. They've come up with knowledge is your power and armor is your confidence. Yeah, and they're like, that's a bit long, that one, Charlotte. We need to make that one a bit shorter. So they're in a bit of a kind of, where do we go with this one? So we're still questioning that one at the moment. So the children are deciding on the title. And they said to me, it needs to be short and snappy to catch people's attention and to keep them engaged. And they're so right. They really are.
I should take some communication lessons from the children. But I love those titles. I think they are so evocative and so powerful already.
Yeah, so the activities within the modules are very much looking at regulating the child at the beginning of the module, going into kind of a bigger activity, you know, around the topic, and then finishing again at the end with another regulation activity so that they finish the session feeling regulated. And if there's anybody that's upset or kind of been triggered by anything in the session, there's an opportunity for us to support them with.
I love that. I mentioned before, I love this, that you start with the regulation activities. And I think this is something that should be adopted in meetings for adults as well, in any kind of setting. But can you just give me a few examples of what these regulation activities actually might be?
Yes, so we have tongue twisters. So we're talking about maybe in the self-esteem activity that we're going to be using our voice, and our voice is important. So we've incorporated tongue twisters. And when we trialed it within the group, everybody was laughing and the ice was broken and everybody was really engaging with each other. Then we have humming activities. So we know when we game like humming activities, it regulates and calms down your nervous system. So we've trialed them all and we've checked to see how did you feel before we started this activity and how do you feel after? And children have proved that it really does work. Then we have tapping and rhythm. So making sounds on our knees, doing a beat like drums. Beat and rhythm is really regulation as well. And let me think, have we done any other ones? One child wanted to create a rap. So
A rap.
singing.
Okay.
Yeah, so all children learn differently as well, based on different needs that they have. So some children are really need rhythm and, music and the beat to really regulate. So we incorporated a lot of that as well. So if you look at Bruce Perry has the three R's, regulate, relate, and reason. So when children feel regulated, they're able to move into reason and the next stage as well. So we're trying to regulate children, especially because the topic is so sensitive as well for some children.
Of course. And I love the fact that all these activities are somehow involving sound or musicality or rhythm as an attribute. Our musicality is one of the things, if not the one thing, that connects us all as humans. So it's amazing.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Yeah. And
Oh.
then we're using the Lundy model of participation. So we're very mindful that when we're doing any consultation work with children, that we're following the Lundy model to ensure that we're not being tokenistic, that our participation is done very meaningfully. So we really spent a lot of time looking at the first two elements of the Lundy model, so space or space and voice. So when we create this child-centered and developmentally appropriate environment, children then felt more comfortable to share their insights with us. So we're using, as I was saying, the playing creative mediums. It helps to build that trust and create a safe environment for children and enables children to share their insights and influence decisions. So the first two elements of the Lundy model were really important to ensure the children felt safe and comfortable with us, so then we could move into the next piece of influence and audience.
So you're creating a resource that will live beyond this project, obviously, and on your website, in the schools. But peer-to-peer violence keeps evolving, and especially online. So how do you create something that remains relevant as the landscape of bullying changes? And I think you've partly answered that, but do you have any additional thoughts?
Yeah, just because the project is created when it's finished and finalized, maybe in a year's time it needs to be looked at again and maybe it needs to be revised and changed. Because like you said, the bullying and cyberbullying, the world is constantly changing, how children interact is constantly changing. So we need to make sure that we are not behind, that we are consulting with children about this. So it needs to be looked at quite often so that you're staying relevant and relatable. But you're right, like for children now who are experiencing cyberbullying, that might look very different in a year's time with AI and all these chatbots. So we do need to make sure that we're revising it to ensure that it is still relatable and relevant for children, definitely. Yeah, it's really important. And as well for us, like in County Galway, we've got quite a lot of children that go to Irish-speaking schools. And some children, for example, who live on the island speak in Irish. So it's really important that we can try to get these modules translated into Irish so that we're, I suppose, appreciate that children don't all speak English and that we're really being versatile in that as well.
You mentioned so many surprising and amazing things the children said to you during these sessions, but I'm just wondering what really stands out for you. What did you learn from the children in this project that you're really taking home with you?
What's really stood out to me is that we as adults sometimes do make assumptions. And I went into this project with an idea of what this educational module was going to look like. And I was very wrong. You know, children want it to be practical and experiential. They don't want PowerPoint presentations. So that really, really stood out to me. And they feel that, you know, sometimes their voices aren't heard. But when you give them experiences like this, where you listen to their voices and view the world through the eyes of the child, they feel more empowered and confident. So it's quite basic things that we can do from the get-go by just listening to children and young people, not making assumptions about what they need and want. Because I did when I went in this journey thinking, oh, it's going to look like this, A, B, and C. I was completely wrong. And that's what took me by surprise. So imagine if we did go out and create something without that consultation piece. We wouldn't be very relatable and relevant, would we? So that's what surprised me the most. So that's where the tunnel vision comes from. And that's the piece that's really important. Getting inside the tunnel and viewing the world through the eyes of the child.
Yeah, I completely agree. And for the final question, so for other organizations working on peer-to-peer violence, what would be your key advice about truly centering children's voices in the solution?
I think adapting our methodologies to ensure that we're being child-centered and developmentally appropriate. Sometimes in participation work, we're using adult-centric tools, for example, talk-based methods or questionnaires. And not all children feel comfortable using those methods. So in order to get a really true reflection of what the issues are like for children and young people, we need to adapt and be flexible and use child-centered and developmentally appropriate methods. And that includes involving play. It's what children feel the most comfortable doing. And if we can do that, then you're going to get a really true insight from children. And they're not just telling you what they think adults want to hear.
So I'm just wondering whether these methodologies will be available publicly. So I understand they are aimed rather at educators than parents. But if we have a listener, I don't know, from Spain, and they would be interested, are they going to be able to access it from your website or anywhere else?
Yeah, if anybody's interested in any of the methodologies that we use in the ISPCC, I'm more than happy to link in with anybody. And you can email me at participation@ispcc.ie, and I would love to support people and learn new ways and share our insights with other professionals.
Okay, amazing. Charlotte Donnellan, thank you so much for joining us today for the Daphne Child podcast. And I will be following your project and be happy to hear from it as it evolves.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been really nice talking with you today.
To our listeners, thank you for joining us for this episode of the Daphne Child Programme's Grantee Spotlight Series. You can learn more about this programme and all the 48 grantee projects across 9 countries at our website, daphne.childhub.org. Until next time, goodbye.